Well, good morning, everyone. So good to be back with you this morning. We had a wonderful time on our part of our vacation. We still have 1 week to go. In September, we'll be going to Texas to visit our oldest son. But to visit our daughter and son-in-law and three grandchildren up on the dairy farm in New York, upstate New York, was a wonderful time. We stopped in Lynchburg, Virginia to pick up our youngest son, Philip, who wanted to go with us this time and visit his sister and be on the farm for a while and take a break from his work at Liberty University, and where he works in the IT department. And on the way back down, we had a day with him in Lynchburg, and he showed us around the campus, the new things that are going on at LU, and I always like to go to a bookstore when I'm on a college campus, so we went to the college bookstore, and he showed me a book that he had saw there, and it's called What If? It's not a Christian book, but it's a unique book where a guy tries to explain various examples of what would happen if something odd or strange would occur, and then he tries to explain it scientifically. Like this: what if all 7.5 billion people on Earth gathered together in one place and at one time jumped up and down at the same time? What effect would it have on the Earth? Well, 7.5 billion people together would take up about the size of Rhode Island. And I'll explain that in a minute. Or what if the Earth suddenly stopped spinning? What would happen to us? Well, in the first example, as those people jumped up and down, he says scientifically it would affect the Earth only by 1/2 the distance of an atom. That's very, very insignificant. However, he did talk about how catastrophic it would be to evacuate Rhode Island of 7.5 billion people and what that would cause. And he goes into great detail explaining that. Example two: what would happen if everybody jumped and, or excuse me, if the Earth stopped spinning, and what would happen to us? Well, the short answer is we would die. But then he goes in to explain all the things. If you're traveling at 2,000 miles an hour, or whatever, and all of a sudden the Earth stopped, what would happen? The buildings go in and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of interesting. So I came up with my own what if question. What if we could just pick up the phone and talk to God? Well, the short answer is you'd be on hold for a very, very long time, because everybody else is calling, right? But I have great news for you. You have available to you today something far greater than any phone that man can create. You have available to you today something more reliable than any technology available to man. You have available to you today the very Spirit of God. You have available to you today what generations before Christ longed to have and sought with all of their hearts. And even though those generations never saw the fulfillment of what was promised, they were willing, because of this awesome faith that they had, to go through anything to make sure that it did come to completion. The 11th chapter of Hebrews brings us a wonderful teaching regarding faith. Last week you heard the familiar verse that contains what faith is. That is, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what we do not see. In other words, faith is knowing in your heart that you have what you have hoped for, and that what you know to be true is already received. You already have it, even though you actually can't see it yet. That was the hope that the ancients lived by, and what is revealed to us in our New Testament reading today. Those referenced in Hebrews knew in their heart that their faith was far more important than any adversary that would come along their way, even if it looked pretty bleak. Now imagine for a moment if you were in Egypt and you're fleeing after Pharaoh finally releases you and your nation from bondage. Now you're in the crowd that is leaving, and you find yourself facing a great body of water, the Red Sea. And in the back of you are legions of Egyptian soldiers. Pharaoh has a change of heart. He wants to kill you. What would you do? Moses knew God brought them out of Egypt. Moses knew that he was taken back into Egypt for this very purpose. His faith was totally in the hands of God. And he hears this, "Moses, raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people may go through on dry land." And now the normal reaction might be, "Yeah, right." And he could give all kinds of excuses as to why that is impossible. It's beyond reason. Some today even try to question the event. I told them at the earlier service, and I might have told some of you, I don't know if I said this in a sermon before or not over the years, but the one sermon that I remember when I was a kid, the church I was going to, I was probably 12 years old or so, and I remember the priest saying, and trying to explain this away, saying, "Well, it was probably low tide." I said, I mean, even then, I said, "What? That's not what they told us in Sunday school." Moses would have to put his faith into action. This is where the passage, "Faith without works is dead," comes into play. You see, when God says to do something, we have to move on what he says to do. God is telling Moses to take action. Put your faith to work. "I told you I was going to be with you. I have brought you this far. Now do it." And Moses listened to God. He raised his staff, he raised his hand, the seas split, and the Hebrew people were saved, just as God said it would. Now imagine you're Joshua. You come upon the enemy who has fortified in this huge city with large walls. There are walls that seem impenetrable. You're not going to get through any of them very easily without some kind of sophisticated weapons. God said, "Joshua, here's what I want you to do. March around the city for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times, and I want the priests to blow their trumpets, and I want them to start yelling." Again, yeah, right. "Then the walls will fall," God says. What if God told you to do that? What would you do? Again, we see a kind of faith that defies common logic. This kind of faith goes way beyond our human reasoning. This kind of faith is totally dependent upon God. But Joshua knew his God. He gathers the troops and begins circling and marched for 6 days. And you can just hear the taunting that must have been coming from them from the top of those walls. People laughing and sneering and joking. Then on the seventh day, they march around the walls like they were told to, and then they blow the trumpets, and the people begin yelling, and down comes the walls, just as God said. Faith without works is dead. You have to move when God says move, even when it seems beyond the scope of reality. The writer of Hebrews says he could go on and talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the other prophets. He could write volumes on all the things that they did. They all had tremendous faith. They put their total trust in the Lord. At some point, many miraculous things happened in their lives. They saw the power of God supersede the power of nature. And the writer says, through faith, they conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. They made strong out of what was weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. But even though they had all that, you also heard this. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so they might rise again for a better life. They were tortured, stoned, and martyred. And even though they went through all these things, they didn't waver in their faith. They knew there was something wonderful coming. They knew that there was a promise to be fulfilled. And that promise was the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That promise was the release of the Holy Spirit so that all of mankind could have the opportunity to be set free of the bondage of sin. They cherished to be where you are. Think about that for a moment. Those generations of people who lived in the previous age, the age before the coming of Christ, lived in the hope of the age of Christ, even though they never, ever saw it. Their hope was to have what you and I have the capability of having. Total peace with God. Complete forgiveness of our sins. Walking in the Spirit to accomplish God's tasks. Given to this present age, the age of Jesus Christ. John reminds us, to all who receive him, to all who call on his name, he gives the right to become children of God. In other words, as you receive him into your life, you have all that he has to offer for you. But even though we have inner peace, we still face opposition. We see that very clearly in our gospel reading. Jesus had been teaching his disciples and those who were in the crowd around him, and he was talking about being watchful, that we don't know when his return will be, but he is going to return because he's coming back. But there will be signs to look for. And when he says these words, which can be considered hard words, many don't like it when they hear it in this passage. But Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth. It would be where it be already kindled. Now, I want to pause here for a second. Remember when John the Baptist was about to baptize Jesus just before he did that? He says, I baptize you with water, but one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His fire is his Spirit that burns within us. And he goes on, he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I've come to rather have division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, I want to encourage you not to be discouraged by that passage. Anytime the works of God comes face to face with the works of the world or directly with evil, I'm not saying everybody is evil per se, but there is going to be opposition. I cannot tell you how many times I've been laughed at, had the middle finger of salute given to me, all because I am who I am in Christ. But I tell you this, the joy in seeing people's lives changed, drug addicts set free, some healed of diseases, miraculous signs and wonders, issues in life being worked out when there seems to be no way for it to happen. And especially seeing someone come to Christ and being filled with the hope of eternal life with Christ, all those things far outweigh someone flicking me off because I'm a Christian. So there will be times when the life-changing power of Christ will cause division, even with family members at times. It doesn't mean we don't love them. It doesn't mean we stop sharing the gospel with them. But at times there will be opposition. There will be times when your life in Christ will be in direct opposition to the party that you were invited to. And then all of a sudden there's drugs or whatever's going on. And you're mocked because you said no. There are times when your principles as a child of God will direct you away from the way of the world. I remember when I worked in industry, I came across some guys who were in other jobs, not the same company I was with, but they had to leave their job because they were being asked to do things that were unethical or illegal, especially when it came to finances of the company. So they had to leave because it was in direct opposition with their Christian principles. Just like Jesus said, these are the signs of the times. Right now, we are in the middle of another hurricane season. And so far, so good, right? But many are prepared. I've lived through this state all my life, and we always ready ourselves for what might happen, not knowing the time or the day when it will happen, if it happens. And I said, if it happens, that's regarding a hurricane. Jesus is coming back. I want you to be clear of that. We know how to, but the point is, we can turn on the weather channel or we can turn on our local weather, and we know how to prepare ourselves for what's coming, like we've done for the last week or two. Just get a boat. But yet he says, you hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. But you, why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Those people who experienced the power of God in isolated instances throughout the Old Testament face severe opposition so that you and I could have what is being offered to us today. We have available to us the same Spirit that split the waters of the Red Sea. We have offered to us the same Spirit that tore down the walls of Jericho, available to us today on a daily basis. They fought and died so that you and I could have peace with God and carry the work that He has for us into the world. What if we fully understood the magnitude of that? What if we fully understood the significance of what Christ has done for us? What if we fully understood the importance of what God wants to do through us? Yet so many times we let the threat of opposition or ridicule or not being accepted into the crowd get in our way. You might say that sounds pretty radical. Well, Jesus is asking for radical faith, to trust Him, to obey Him, to walk with Him. I'm talking about when God calls us to do something and we know that it's from the Holy Spirit of God, we don't hold back because we think it's beyond our reasoning. We are representing Christ wherever we are, and we need to put our faith into action. God wants to use you and me just like He used Moses and Joshua. What if you put your faith into action? You may not split the Red Sea, you may not yell at a wall and it falls down, but you may help break down the walls of sin that bind someone who is looking for an answer, and God puts you in their path. You may be used by the Spirit of God to heal someone of illness. You may be used by God to help someone out of a desperate situation that they are trapped in. Who knows what God will do through you if you are willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I am willing to put my faith into action. I'm willing to be used by You." Remember, again, all these people, generations before us and before Christ, sought what You have available to you. And so many just squander it away. Trust the Lord. Pray daily. Read His Word given to us. Get to know Him intimately. He wants to use you. He wants to work through you. And you don't have to wait for a phone call or a ring on the phone. He's right there waiting for you. What if you walked out of this building today and the Holy Spirit called you into action to pray for someone or something, and it may be beyond reason to you? Would you do it? May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your life-giving Spirit. We thank You that we live in this present age, Lord God, where we are called to do so much for You. And so, Father, I ask for each person here, all of us here in this place right now, Lord, that You would encourage us as we do step out of this building. If You call us to do something, that we would have the faith to do it, Lord God. And I thank You, Father, that You care so much for us, that You are willing to offer us such a tremendous hope, such a tremendous gift in Your Spirit. So, Father, I pray for all of us that You will continue to encourage us, continue to enlighten us, and continue to empower us. And may we act on our faith when You call us into action. And we thank You, Father, so much for what You want to do through each and every person here. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.